We're talking about spiritual gifts, and we started last time, which I guess has been a couple of weeks, talking about the word of wisdom, the word of wisdom. So the word of wisdom, if you remember, the emphasis is on the word. So we're talking about the proclamation of something, and in this case, the proclamation of wisdom. So if we were to identify or define wisdom, wisdom is being able to take what is happening around you and take the knowledge that you might have and be able to apply God's wisdom to that situation in order to know what the best way to respond or the best thing to do or the best word to say. It is the wisdom of God. So it is wisdom that is spoken. So if you have the gift of the word of wisdom, then you are gifted to be able to speak wisdom, the wisdom of God, to other people. This is not necessarily a preaching kind of thing, although it could be. It could be a teaching, you know, in a Sunday school kind of setting or in any other, you know, setting where you're addressing a large group of people. It could be like that. Or it could be just simply one-on-one, where you're having a conversation with someone. And I think, honestly, this is the greatest application. This is where most of us will experience the application of the word of wisdom in our lives. It's where you're having a one-on-one conversation with someone. Maybe you're telling them about something you're going through, or they're telling you about something they're going through. Either way, it doesn't matter. And you or they have the ability to take some aspect of the truth of the word of God and apply it to the situation that you're going through. So it comes out in the normal everyday conversation that you're having with somebody. I mean, it could be somebody you know, somebody you don't know, a family member, a husband or a wife or a child or anything like that. You take the wisdom of God and you apply it to the situation, and it gives insight into what God would have you do. So it's a spoken kind of gift. And we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, notice what Paul says in this verse. And it's kind of interesting because Paul identifies the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and he uses these words a lot in 1 Corinthians, let alone in other places. But we're kind of focusing on 1 Corinthians, so we have enough examples from here to see. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." So here he's referring to the things that God has put in place in creation, that at this particular time he is speaking forth to the people, to the church, which we continue to do to this day. But notice it is speaking the wisdom of God. And I think that this verse is a good verse in order to help us to grasp what this word of wisdom might be. It's all about speaking. Now, the first application or the use of wisdom in speaking is not necessarily within the church, but it could be outside of the church. And what are we doing outside of the church in our conversations? We are speaking the wisdom of God, which for an unsaved person, the primary thing that they need is what? Salvation. It is the speaking of the gospel. So you know, you have the understanding because of the word of God. You have an understanding of their situation. They are embroiled in sin, and their sin is going to, it condemns them, and they're going to have to stand before the judge, God of all. But there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and if they would give their life to Jesus and ask for the forgiveness of sins, they can escape that judgment and they can have eternal life. All of that is taking the truth of Scripture, and it is applying it to their situation. So you are speaking the wisdom of God. Now notice, you know, it doesn't have to be new stuff or things that are too difficult to comprehend. It doesn't have to be any of that. It's just being able to take the truth, which we have because we're Christians and we've been studying the Word of God, and apply it to somebody's life. Okay? So it starts with the speaking of the gospel, but of course, you know, if you have any conversations with other people, it doesn't have to end there. Wisdom needs to be applied to all aspects of life. And we face situations on a regular basis where even as Christians, we don't always know what to do, right? Have you ever been in that kind of a situation? Of course, you know, and it could be a very important thing, it could be a not so important thing, and all kinds of instances in which the wisdom of God is needed in order to understand how to handle a particular situation. So, when we talk about the wisdom of God, we're talking about, first and foremost, fixing our relationship with God. How do I do that? And how does somebody that's not saved do that? How do we as believers continue to build up and strengthen our relationship to God? We need wisdom in dealing with our relationships. We need wisdom in dealing with in handling difficult circumstances, or if somebody gets into an accident or some unfortunate circumstance in life, that's often very traumatic, and we need to be able to go to such a person, and we can give counsel to them on how to handle that. Sickness is all around us, and people struggle when they get sick, and so how do we can take the truth of the Word of God and apply it to those kinds of situations. Of course, we need wisdom when deciding about jobs, when we're deciding about relationships, when deciding about direction in life, about all kinds of things. We want to take God's truth and we want to apply it in all of these things. Now, we have this great verse in James chapter 1, verse 5, and this is a promise to us. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously, liberally, and without reproach. In other words, he doesn't rebuke us for asking for wisdom, and it will be given him. And of course, we're supposed to ask in faith. Has anybody ever turned to this verse or remembered this verse when you were seeking wisdom? Yeah, I think many of us have done that. I do that all the time. I remember this verse and realize, well, Lord, I need wisdom. Please help me to know what to do in this situation. And according to this verse, he promises to do that if we ask in faith. So that's a great promise. This is one of those verses that are a great promise to us. So someone with the gift of the word of wisdom. So now there's all kinds of applications of this, and I think in some respect we all exercise wisdom to some degree in our lives. But there is a gift of the word of wisdom. These are people that have been gifted with exceptional insight into the scripture and being able to apply it to our situations. And that would be closer to someone who has the gift of a word of wisdom. And so we might, we can learn the truth of God, and, God has given us amazing minds that are able to take the information and use it and apply it in some respect. But there's a gift. And those who are gifted in this way have an exceptional ability to be able to put the truth of the Word of God together with life circumstances and situations. And so we want to take the gift of God, and we want to use it to those, to help those that are around us. And of course, like I said, it could be the proclamation of the gospel, it could be the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God, it could be in your one-on-one conversations. In certain things. But I do have to say here, when it comes to counseling and seeking worldly counsel, we have to be really careful, I think, when it comes to seeking counsel from non-Christians. Now, why would I say that? Now, I'm not saying don't do it at all. Never. I'm not saying that. But what is challenging about getting counsel? If you need counsel and you go to a worldly counselor, what are some of the challenges that you put yourself in when you do something like that? Tyson?
All their information is based on a worldview that
is. Okay. Yeah.
They're not going to see God in their way.
Right, they're not. No, they don't. What else? There's a complete void of what the Word of God says in the counsel that they would recommend to you. It's just completely gone. There is no faith in God. There is no element of prayer. I'm going to pray for you that you can get through this. There's no element of prayer. There's no element of respecting what God has to say about anything. It's just completely lacking. Now, is there any benefit possibly from going to a counselor who's not a Christian? Is there any benefit, or is it completely, you know, death and judgment and doom and gloom if you would do that? Okay. Now, why can they give good advice? That's true. Why?
Well, there's common sense and logic. Even a broken clock is like
Yeah, that's the classic. My digital clock, if it stops, though, it never works. Never isn't even right twice. No, but that's the classic example that, you know, has been given for years and years. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. So, yeah. There's, you know, we live in this real world, and you can learn how to do something in this world really well, right? And if somebody who's not saved learns how to do something really well and learns the mechanics of something, they can function and offer a blessing, or, I mean, they're not going to put it in that, offer something, some good advice as far as that goes. Tyson? Yes, that's a good point, too. Yeah, that's right. Even a donkey, right? So Balaam's donkey gave him some good advice, which it was good that he heeded, because otherwise he was about to lose his life there. Yeah, that's a good example. And then there's the high priest Ananias in the New Testament. He says, don't you know that it's imperative that one man die for the people? But he did not know what he was. He didn't know that when he was talking about Jesus, that Jesus was literally going to do that. But he was thinking of, you know, in order to keep the peace. But anyway, God still, you know, affirmed his message, even though he wasn't seeking God at all. So there is a certain amount of wisdom that can be gleaned from the world in how it works and how it operates and how you know, just understanding all of that. And doctors are a good example of this. We go to our doctors. We don't ask if they're Christian or not, because they've studied how the body works and they know, you know, the mechanics of whatever, you know, the particular thing that you might be dealing with. And they have something to offer there. But when we're seeking counsel, I think that we have to strive to look for someone who is going to not only be able to give the expertise from a worldly perspective, but in addition be able to take that worldly expertise and integrate it with what God has said and what God is doing, put it together, and there's where you're going to get the most significant and impactful kind of advice that you might need. And so I would encourage us, if we ever have to go to a counselor, that we would seek a Christian counselor. Now, there are some cautions in going to a Christian counselor. Anybody, what might be some cautions about going to a Christian counselor? And this is not intentional on the part of the Christian counselor, but...
You don't know him, he doesn't know you, and what you understand about God would maybe... He may call himself a Christian counselor,
Yeah. Yeah, we don't really know where they are as far as their Christianity is. They might be Buddhist and call themselves Christian, you know, for all we know. So there's a, you know, we have to, just because somebody says they're Christian or somebody says they're going to pray for you or something, doesn't mean they're Christian. And I think we understand that. So we're not looking just for a Christian in name, but we're looking for a true believer. Okay, what else might be a downside in seeking a Christian counselor? Well, to me, this is the biggest thing. So if I put this before you, would you want, if you had to have heart surgery, let's say, okay, would you rather go to a non-Christian who was absolutely expert in heart stuff? Or would you go to a Christian who is really a strong Christian, but not so good at the heart stuff? All right, who are you going to go to? We don't even think about it, right? It's like, I'm going to the best doctor I can find. And there's what? That's the point.
Yeah,
that's right. And this is the challenge, because if you're going to be the best kind of counselor, you have to be a strong Christian and know the Word of God, and you have to know the stuff. Whereas a worldly person only has to learn the stuff. And I think a lot of times there's kind of a deficiency, an imbalance on the part of the Christian. And again, it's not necessarily intentional, but it's challenging. It's hard. It's not easy if you're going to be the best at something, especially in our days, in our day of specialization. We live in a day of specialization, even in biblical studies. You know, you go to school, and if you're going to be a professor and learn to and teach, you end up specializing in something. And that's just kind of the day that we live in, the specialization. And the downside of that is that if you specialize, everything else falls by the wayside. You can't be an expert at everything. And there's been kind of a resurgence of the liberal arts going back to, you know, kind of the old university idea, the model of the university, where you expose yourself to all of the, you know, teaching and training and life out there. But again, you can generalize, but what do you lose when you generalize? You lose the specialization, and you kind of get into a catch-22. But that's life. But what we need to do is, we have this gift. There is this word of wisdom that is applied by God to the church in our situations, and it is for our benefit. All right, Tyson, did you have a question or comment?
It would have been interesting to wrap the trailer.
What? No, go ahead. Ask me. I'll.
It wasn't a question. It was just a
comment.
It is, but it's,
yeah. Yeah.
And this is something we don't have. We don't use it anymore. So
yeah.
We don't really need it. And we might be able to do it without it.
Yeah.
But this isn't necessarily true.
It's kind of interesting that religion really has had an impact in the West as far as the scientific advancement. Because of the Christian worldview, there has been this mindset in throughout Western Europe, and that science is workable and it's functioning, as opposed to other parts of the world where they have a different worldview or a different religion, let's say like animistic kind of religion, in which case you don't want to touch nature because it's sacred and you don't want to investigate as to how it works. And so really the Christian worldview made science possible. And now, of course, we've come down the road, and now science, and you know, there's a secularization of everything that is in the world from religion. Don't mix the two. It's like oil and water, so the world says, but that's kind of an artificial separation there. Yeah. 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 Yes. Yeah. We must not underestimate the power of walking with the Lord. We cannot underestimate that in all things. That goes back to our first question. You know, when we come across our counselor or our doctor and they claim to be Christian, well, I don't want a moderate Christian. I don't want a weak Christian. I want somebody who is walking with the Holy Spirit and has some power. That's that goes a long way. All the other Christian stuff just kind of falls by the wayside a lot of times, but we're weak in our faith, and I think a lot weaker than we realize, and we have a lot of growing to do and a lot of being sensitive to the Spirit of God. We have a lot to learn as far as that goes. Let me go on here, some examples of wisdom. So in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, we read where there was a dispute that had arisen between the widows. So you had the Jewish widows and the Greek-influenced widows. They were feeling like they were not being treated equally. And so this is internal to the church. This is a church thing. They are struggling to figure out what to do. And this is taking away a lot of the time from the apostles. So here is wisdom. They decided they are going to select 6 men in order to put them in charge of this dispute, which would extend, of course, to other things within the church that needed to be addressed. And the apostles could devote themselves to what? The what?
The word.
The word and prayer. Yeah, the word and prayer. So this is an example of, you have a situation, you have a need, what are we going to do about it? And the wisdom of God is applied to it. There's another example in Acts chapter, well, this is not an example as much as it is a statement. This is one of those that they chose, Stephen, and in Acts chapter 6, verse 10, it describes him this way. Now, this is fantastic. Oh, that I could be described this way. You know what I mean? Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men, not 6, I said 6 in a minute ago. 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. Now, they're looking for someone who is full of the Spirit and someone who is full of wisdom. Why? Because they had a problem and they needed a good solution to it. So that's where, you know, walking in the Spirit and being full of wisdom just kind of came into play. In Acts chapter 15, the church as a whole faced another problem, and this was how to deal with Gentiles that were coming to faith. And so this was a new problem for the church, and it was really touchy. Anyway, the Jerusalem Council is what Acts chapter 15 is often referred to as. This is where the church met, and the wisdom of God is applied to their problem, and they came up with a solution on how to handle it. So this is another application of wisdom. Going back to the Old Testament, this would not be like the gift of the word of wisdom, but wisdom is something that has been entrenched among the people of God all the way back. And you can read in the book of Proverbs, and you have wisdom all over the place compared to the fool all over the place. And the principle is still the same. You take the truth of God and you apply it to your life. That is the wise man. The fool, on the other hand, ignores what God has to say and does his own thing. So that reminds me that to be wise doesn't mean that you're smart necessarily. And this is really important to understand. Being wise is taking what is true and applying it to your situation or somebody else's situation. That is wisdom. And we do it every day whenever we choose to follow in God's footsteps. We're being wise. And if we reject that, then we're being a fool. Curtis? Right. Right. Yeah.
And by showing that they can see themselves or see love or themselves and how to follow them,
yeah. That's true. And again, this is one of the challenges of, you know, truly applying wisdom. I find that a lot of people do what's called projection. So they take their situation and project it on somebody else, and like, what I've done, you gotta do. And that's kind of the only thing. Or what's wrong with me is what's wrong with you. That kind of projection. And that's kind of hard. And there are other pitfalls to this. And true wisdom is led by the Holy Spirit. And really what you're doing is you're identifying their situation and applying the Word of God to their situation. And that's what we wanna do. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is all spiritual business. And, you know, a lot of times Again, something that the world is just not going to consider, that the Christian does consider, is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, yeah, all the spiritual. There's a spiritual component that the world is completely oblivious to. Yeah, and if we're going to deal with it effectively, this kind comes not out except by prayer and fasting. Look, you want to deal with these things? You've got to have a strong spiritual life, which involves prayer and fasting. So, yeah, this is spiritual business, and these are spiritual gifts. We have to learn what it is to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And we've all got work to do as far as growing along those lines. Here's the example from the Old Testament I was going to give, and I started by saying there's a lot of wisdom in the Old Testament. You remember King Solomon? There were these two women, and they both had a child, and one of them in the night rolled over on their child and killed it, and then took the other child and claimed it as their own. It's a tragic story. So they come before King Solomon, and he applies that classic example of wisdom there. He says, 1 Kings 3:25, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. And of course, the mother, the true mother of the child, would not go for that ever at all. And that's how Solomon discerned who was the true mother. So it's a great story in a tragic situation, but that's a great example of wisdom. So, do you have the gift of the word of wisdom? Do you? Are you able and willing to speak to people publicly or privately or whatever the opportunity the Lord presents you? Are you willing to speak to others? Do you know what God says about things? In other words, if you're going to speak wisdom, you have to know what God says about things. You have to know the word. Do you know what God says? Do you know the Word of God? Are you able to take what God says and apply it to our current situations? And if so, if those things are true, you might have the gift of the Word of wisdom. And that's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. And if not, know that there is a gift. And if you need help knowing, some people have the gift of wisdom, and you know, you might want to go and talk to some of these people. You probably have people in your life that you know that if you have a question about something or if you don't know what to do about something, they always, you know, say something significant and helpful for you. Do you know anybody like that? I mean, you probably do. People that we go to and that we talk to and share with, and that's great. So if you don't have the gift of the word of wisdom, don't fret. It's okay to go get advice from somebody else, right? Isn't that true? So as a matter of fact, it's always a good idea to do that. In the Proverbs, it says that the wise man does seek out the counsel from others. He's already wise, and the wise man does that. Why should we always be willing to hear and listen to what other people are saying? Why? Why is that important? We don't know it all. That's right. They might have some experience in something great. Yes. A lot of times we'll finagle it to get it to work out the way we want. We deceive ourselves, and we're dealing with sin. We're not always functioning correctly because of it. Why else? Oh, yeah, all right. Pride can really cloud your judgment there. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And I think a great reason for this is we just have blind spots, don't we? We just do not see everything. The way we see things is often colored by the way that we've grown up, by the people that have been around us all our lives, from the Bible teachers we listen to all the time. We're just clouded by all these things. And it is wise to get the counsel of others. Not just of anybody willy-nilly, but it is wise to get good godly counsel. It is. That's right. Right. And wisdom is humble. True wisdom is humble. That's another application, you know, of the truth of God. There's wisdom right there to be humble. So that's great. So we have these blind spots. And it's always just a good idea to listen to what those around you are saying. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to memorize everything, but when you become fast, it's not going to go to your phone.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we believe the Word of God has no contradictions there, and just another application of that is of wisdom and getting multiple counsel is don't just read that one verse, but you have to know the rest of Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's what Isaiah says. And we want to, you know, build together our, you know, put together our understanding of the Word of God. And it's challenging. This is a big book, and there's a lot to learn here. And we could study it our entire lives, and there still be things that we need, a lot of things still that need to be learned. Yeah, good. All right, any other thoughts or comments or questions? I think when we move on from the Word of Wisdom, we've kind of set a foundation here, and we'll be able to move through some of the other gifts a little more quickly than we've done with the Word of Wisdom. But we'll pick up next time with the Word of Knowledge. Okay? Any final thoughts or questions? Okay, let's pray, and we'll be done. Thank you, O Lord, for the truth that you have revealed to us. Thank you for the Spirit who lives and resides within us. We yield ourselves to you, and we pray that you would move in our hearts, that you would guide us and direct us, lead us into the truth, and show us what is wise, how to take what you have revealed to us and apply it to our lives. Lord, we have so many questions. Every day we face things and we wonder why. I pray, O Lord, that you would reveal yourself in these things. And above all, we know that you are good. We know that you are gracious, that you are loving and kind and all of those things. And even if we don't understand something, we know that you will work it all out because we belong to you. We are your children and you love us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.